On the line now, I have Marie Cregan, and she's from the Fialchán Support Services. Good morning to you, Marie. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. How are you?
Okay, what I want to find out now, well, before we talk about it, you're in Dublin the last Thursday of every month at the Aisling Hotel in Parkade Street.
Yeah, at 7:30.
Half seven every...
Yeah, and that's open to all bereaved parents.
Okay.
And if they want to bring a family member with them, sometimes they don't want to come on their own, or one of the couple doesn't want to come if they're a single parent, that they can bring somebody along with them for support.
Give us a little bit of background to Fialchán. It means butterfly, but how it came about, how long it's in existence...
Fialchán began in 2010. It was a group of bereaved parents who came together due to the lack of support, I suppose. There just was nothing there when we were looking to grieve our own children. People expected us to get over it very quickly. I suppose there's a hugely simplistic view of the grief of a baby who has died around the time of birth, and it's a very, very complex loss. So we got together through various forums and just put Fialchán together, and the name just seemed to fit. At the time, I must say, I didn't think it was going to take off myself, but it really has.
Okay, where are you based?
We're based all over the country, really. Our office
No,
is
but I mean, initially, where are you? Down in Cork?
Cork, yeah. We started from Cork, but our members came from Galway, Cork, Tipperary and Kerry.
Okay, and was there...
And now we've a big branch in Dublin as well.
And was there a shortage of services in around the south?
Well, there was nothing really in the south. Everything was based in Dublin. Mm-hmm. And now I suppose the most who gets and most, I mean, the population is in Dublin, but that we found that there were an awful lot of very isolated people in the outlying areas. And that's, I suppose, the niche that Fialchán fell into. We saw the gap there, we saw the need there, and put the organisation together. And but now it just has grown, that there's a huge interest in it. The people we started supporting in 2010 are now training up themselves to support the newly bereaved parents. And we have meetings from Donegal down to Mizzen, Malin to Mizzen, and from Galway across to Dublin. And the newest branch that will be starting up very shortly is Tullamore. They're a very strong branch. Kerry, Galway, West Cork, Dublin, as I say, and Navan is coming on stream now as well. And we hope there'll be a cabin branch before the end of the year.
Okay. Now, as I said, you have a meeting in the Aisling Hotel on Parkade Street
on the last Thursday of every month.
Do you embrace the rest of the family as well? Because it's really a family thing, and especially if it's the first child.
Oh, it is. Like, the first child can be... Like, there's no stillbirth or perinatal loss, no neonatal death is easy. Mm-hmm. But the first death can be particularly traumatic because they have no other experience of pregnancy and the innocence is gone for any other subsequent children that they may have. Also, for the families, that it's very difficult to know how to support somebody whose baby has died. You just don't know what to say. You think you're saying the wrong thing, so you don't say anything at all. Mm-hmm. The family then thinks that the baby has been forgotten, and it's just that people are afraid that they'll upset you. But you're already upset. What you might be giving somebody is a chance to cry. Mm-hmm. And if you can sit with and allow somebody to cry and just not get mortified or embarrassed or do anything to shut them up, that's a huge gift that you can give a bereaved parent. Just allow them to mourn their baby and allow them to express the pain. That it's an intense pain, both for the mothers and the fathers and the grandparents and aunts and uncles too. It's very, very hard.
And have you found people maybe that it has happened to years and years ago coming into the fold as well?
Yeah, well, that has been a shock to myself. I know that there was a lot of stillbirth in my own family, and it's only now that they're talking about it. Every time we're on the radio, we will get calls afterwards from people whose babies died between 30 and 60 years ago, and who have never been able to maybe name the child or find it where the baby has been buried, or if the baby has been buried, that they've always been afraid to suggest that the baby's name, if they even had a name for the baby, will go on the headstone. So that we support them around that. We support them to find the baby's grave if that's what they want, or just to help them name the baby and I suppose validate their child,
Yeah, because they do a service here in Weston Row every year, and I remember talking about it over the years since around 1992, but it's gone much longer, and that's what I found. And I actually went to one of the services, and people got going back as far as 30 years. If you think services are short now, I mean, they were practically non-existent 20 or 30 years ago.
Oh, there was nothing when close family members, they don't have permission to speak about them, but that they never had anything. And it's when my daughter died, she'd be making a communion this year now, that they actually started talking about their own children, and they started putting graves on their own babies' graves. It's like as if they got permission, you know, the fact that I was screaming and roaring so much about it, and they really did grieve and mourn my child, that they thought, well, now they can as well, that they don't have to be quiet about it. But that's what they were told to do, go home and forget about it. The best thing you can do now is go home and forget about it. And we know that's not true at all. No mother or father forgets about their child. It might lay dormant, it comes out every now and then, there'd be what we call a grief rush, but that they never felt they had permission to speak. No, not everybody, of course, but a lot of people did not feel they had permission to speak about the baby. And we're hoping that that's what the Felacon services, as well as the ones in Westland Row, and I know there's others in Dublin as well, that we're giving them a place to mourn their child and to validate them.
Mm-hmm. So would you sort of talk about Westland Row? That's the place I was. That's where I go to the service every year. Okay, now you just mentioned it yourself there about your own daughter. So it's there all the time, every birthday, every Christmas, but especially times, as you said, communion coming up. So
yeah,
it's there all the time.
Yeah, for now, for Patrick's weekend. I mean, I wouldn't be the most pious parishioner in the town, but anyway, I was in the church and I could see all the pictures of the children making their confirmation, and I realised, and Jesus, you know, the communion is coming up next month and she should be there. And I know there's one other little girl in her class. It's a little country school in the Sheen, you know, and there should be another little girl. There should be two of them coming down their white dresses, but the other little girl will be on her own. And it'll always pick at you, you know, but then I suppose I feel for myself that I really, after she died, I grieved her and mourned her so much that I felt that that I thought you couldn't wring another tear out of me. But at times like this, it does. It still picks. So if that's somebody like me who was able to grieve, what's it like for the people who are never given, maybe never even saw their baby, never had a photograph, never had anyone to talk to? It must be incredible suffering.
I suppose the great thing about it as well, that people can empathise with each other, and the family can come in and see that, and people, as you said, people find it hard what to say, but people who've gone through it know exactly, well, not exactly, but they have an idea of what to say.
Yeah, or that you realise, you know, how deep this grief is. I think there's a view that babies who die before they're born or around the time of birth have much less value maybe than a baby or a three-year-old or a two-year-old. And that's not true, because you've no memories at all. You just have the imagination of what the baby was like or could be like. And that can be very, very hard for families, you know.
Okay, now the funding of it, Mary, I mean, has that been difficult for you, and how's that worked out?
Well, the funding, we have been absolutely amazed by the amount of funds that we've got from families. We give out 800 memory boxes per year to the hospitals. Now, that's an awful lot of bereaved families. And that most of them, you know, that they do something or that they send in a donation which pays for them. So that we've been blown away really by the generosity of the parishioners, our people that have lost their babies, you know. The Coolock, I know, up in your own area there, and is it the East Wall or the North Wall? They were laughing at me anyway when we were up there. That they had an incredible amount. We thought we'd need an interpreter between their accent and mine, but there was I think it was well over 13,000. We were blown away by that, and what that meant was that I could order the memory boxes and have everything I needed for them for 6 months of going into next year. And that's a huge, you know, we're an organisation that has no funding. We get nothing from the state. And we're all volunteers. Our knitters, the people who make the stuff that goes into the boxes, they all do it, like, from the, I suppose, to help the bereaved parents. And also, they would have been bereaved parents themselves, some of them. But to have that level of funding coming in, we were really blown away, and it's coming up to Christmas. And it meant, really, that we can guarantee a supply of the memory boxes now well into, well to the end of this year anyway. So
okay,
it's fantastic.
Mary, if people want to avail of the services, give us all the details if anybody's listening to us now.
Okay, well, if they want to just email us at info@felacon.ie.
Okay, and of course that's if anyone wants to make any donations as well. Because I have another man on the line now, Anthony Owens, who unfortunately had to use the services, avail of the services of Felacon. Good morning, Anthony, how are you?
Good morning, Owen, I'm fine.
Okay, you can say hello to Marty there.
Yeah, how are you?
Hey, Marty.
Okay.
I can understand your accent, Marty.
I speak slowly for you, Tony.
East meets South. Okay. Anthony, how did you get involved with Felacon?
Well, our situation was myself and my wife were in Hollis Street and we were waiting the birth of our son, Arthur. But as we went into the hospital, we found out there was something wrong, and unfortunately the heartbeat on Arthur had stopped, so we lost him at the few hours before he was due to be born.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurses in the hospital were incredible for all the stuff that they'd done, and they gave us a memory box that Marty was just speaking about there, and the stuff that is in it, like we'll treasure for the rest of our lives and stuff. Mm-hmm.
And it was something no one ever thinks about, but the services, how helpful has the services been to yourself and Claire, your wife?
Well, just firstly on the memory box, I was saying, they're so vital, because if anything ever happened to the house, if it was a fire, for instance, that'd be the only thing that we grab. And then after that, as we were getting through in the days and weeks later, it's just been the counselling and just knowing that you can pick up a phone when you're having a bad day and you can speak to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to the meetings on the Thursday, the last Thursday of every month, I think it's just been in the situation where you can speak to other people that it's happened to. And it's amazing that everybody starts off and they're all crying, telling each other stories. But by the end of it, you're able to sort of have a little laugh and you're able to speak about your child and, you know, with people that it's happened to, and it just makes such a big difference.
Mm-hmm. And you immediately started off, I remember talking to you, and the first thing you did was said, well, I'm going to raise some money here. So tell us what you did.
Well, Arthur passed away, he was born on the 9th of October, and we wanted to thank Feilacan, and we didn't know how to do it. So, and by the way, all our family and friends wanted to thank them as well for helping us. So, we decided to take part in a run in up in Phoenix Park. It's called the Remembrance Run. Last year was the second year, and if anyone wants to go and remember any of their loved ones, a child or a parent or a brother or a sister, mm-hmm. It's a great way of doing it. You can run in it, you can walk in it. Some people have to crawl just to get through the 5K, where it's a fantastic day. So we decided to take part in that, thinking I'd run it and my friends would just sponsor me and my family. But it ended up that there was over 70 family and friends running in the race. And so, as I said, walking and running, and some brought their babies and prams, and we raised over €13,000, I think, that all went to Feilacan.
Mm-hmm. So, Marty, how important is it, this type of support? I mean, it's wonderful to help, and I can hear with Anthony there, going to the meetings and that apart from the financial thing, but the whole moral and support that people give to each other, it's really important within Feilacan.
I suppose what we're giving is the message of hope that you will survive this, that there is, you know, that you will have a life again. It's like your grief. Somebody said to me that they couldn't imagine their grief ever diminishing. I said, well, it mightn't, but you grow bigger than it, you know, mm-hmm. And nobody can live in the intense sadness that you feel after your child has died, but that you do grow beyond it. And, you know, as Tony said there, believe it or not, that we do have a laugh at these meetings. You know, that people think that how can you, but you do, and that you're in the place of people who understand you, and that if you're laughing there, that they know that that doesn't mean any disrespect at all to your child, mm-hmm. but that it's a release. I suppose what we're giving is that the hope. I remember years ago looking at our secretary now, Helen, and she's 6 years longer than me down the road, and when my baby died I was to look at her, and she was 6 years away at the time, and I thought, I just want to get to be where she is. If I could just feel and like she is now, I know I'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else said that to me recently, that they just want to be where I was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a journey that you have to go through. It's not easy, and denying it won't help, but that you know, there is life after it. You will live again, you laugh again, and when I think of my child now, I think of her with a smile. You know, I remember her, and I would never, for all the pain she brought with her, I wouldn't be without her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just smile when I think of her, you know, that you do move on in this grief. And I suppose that's what we're trying to give. We also, after a while, people don't want to come to the meetings, the Thursday meeting or the Tuesday in Cork or whatever, because they've gone beyond that first stage of grief, you know. Now, some people, it takes months, other people weeks, other people it's much longer. Mm-hmm. But you grieve at your own time, and whatever is normal for you is normal for you, and I wouldn't be looking at anybody else. But then we have the craft workshop for people like that who still want to be connected to Felacon. They don't want to become a befriender. They don't want to do any more, but they want to stay connected. So we have a load of craft workshops up and down the country. They can be card making, knitting or crochet for people who want to knit the blankets that the little babies are wrapped in, putting the Felacon ribbons on the teddies that go into the memory box, all of that, you know, and it's done in a very respectful way. We make cards that are sold then for, you know, to make money for the charity, leaded glass, things like that, you know, that, and people are quite happy with that. They come maybe every 2 months, have their chat about their child, and then go about their business again. We also do the services, and we have a low-cost counselling. It's actually no-cost counselling, really. And we have a social work service then for people who need an advocate or need somebody, you know, help with getting their notes and that sort of thing. And you're talking to someone who knows, and there's nothing you can say that we haven't heard before, or maybe we felt ourselves, and that, you know, that to know that you're not off the wall, that everything you're feeling is just is normal,
okay,
you know, and that you're going to be okay.
Okay, can I just ask you, Anthony, there, what Mary is saying there, and what you were saying there yourself, and being with people that's able to empathise with exactly the same problem, and you don't feel guilty about laughing and crying at the same time. Is this part of the process for you? Of course, keeping the memory there all the time of Arthur.
Yeah, I think it's vital for us. As good as our family and friends are, and they're fantastic, when they're asking us about it, sometimes we don't like to cry in front of them as it upsets them. But when you're at the meeting and as Mary was saying, nobody's going to judge you if you cry. No one's going to judge you if you scream. No one's going to judge you if you do anything else. And you can't upset anyone in the meeting because everybody's already upset. So it's just a way for people to go and talk about it. And now the first thing that you do when you go to the meeting is you write down your son or daughter's name, and just so you can speak about them then, and, you know, remember them, because we'll certainly never forget them.
Okay. And to finish off, Mary, do you have a website up yet? And if you haven't, do you hope to get one up?
Because our website actually crashed with everything that was going on in Portlaoise, so that's under construction at the moment. It was supposed to be up Saturday, so I don't know if it's up today or not, but it's on its way anyway. But the Facebook is, I'm too old for Facebook. We're on Facebook, and that's hopping, I believe, at the moment. So, you know, we'd welcome people to check in with that. Our office number is 028-22407. If anyone wants to go knitting for us or anything like that. And the helpline then is 085-249-6464.
Okay. Just finally, on a light note, Anthony, have you learned to do any knitting yet?
We're teaching.
No, I'll just stick with the jogging.
You stick with the jogging, okay. And is there a fundraiser this year, Anthony?
We're going to run the run again this year.
Okay. So you'll be in training for a while.
He teaches me to run.
It'd be better to knit. At least you could watch TV at the same time.
Yeah, right. He teaches me to run.
Okay. Yeah, we swap roles around. Listen, thanks very much to you both. And it's a wonderful service. And as soon as you get the website up, I'm sure that it'll probably crash again. But it's a wonderful, wonderful service that you both give. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Anthony. Thanks, Marty. Bye.
Bye.
Bye
now.
Bye. And that's Mary Cregan and Anthony Owens, and that's Felacon.